From Greenville, South Carolina, we present Let the Bible Speak. Let the Bible Speak is the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, preaching Christ in all His fullness. We welcome you to this broadcast of Let the Bible Speak. Today we continue a series of studies in the book of Romans, messages preached by Dr. Alan Cairns, founder of Let the Bible Speak Radio Ministries. We'll hear from Dr. Cairns in just a few minutes. First of all, we invite you to enjoy this devotional thought from the pen of C.H. Spurgeon, as found in his collection called Morning and Evening.
This morning's text comes from Ephesians chapter 3, verse 19. The love of Christ, which passeth knowledge. The love of Christ in its sweetness, its fullness, its greatness, its faithfulness, passeth all human comprehension. Where shall language be found which shall describe his matchless, his unparalleled love towards the children of men? It is so vast and boundless that as the swallow but skims the water and dives not into its depths, so all descriptive words but touch the surface, while depths immeasurable lie beneath. Well might the poet say, O love, thou fathomless abyss! For this love of Christ is indeed measureless and fathomless. None can obtain unto it. Before we can have any right idea of the love of Jesus, we must understand his previous glory in its height of majesty, and his incarnation upon the earth in all its depths of shame. But who can tell us the majesty of Christ? When he was enthroned in the highest heavens, he was very God of very God. By him were the heavens made, and all the hosts thereof. His own almighty arm upheld the spheres. The praises of cherubim and seraphim perpetually surrounded him. The full chorus of the hallelujahs of the universe unceasingly flowed to the foot of his throne. He reigned supreme above all his creatures, God over all, blessed forever. Who can tell the height of his glory then? And who, on the other hand, can tell how low he descended? To be a man was something. To be a man of sorrows was far more. To bleed and die and suffer, these were much for him who was the Son of God. But to suffer such unparalleled agony, to endure a death of shame and desertion by his Father, this is a depth of condescending love which the most inspired mind must utterly fail to fathom. Herein is love, and truly it is love that passeth knowledge. Oh, let this love fill our hearts with adoring gratitude, and lead us to practical manifestations of its power.
My soul,
If you have been blessed by the beautiful sacred music which forms a part of Let the Bible Speak, you may obtain a CD containing a sampling of these Christ-honoring selections. Entitled Our Great Redeemer's Praise, this CD will provide you with nearly an hour of such beloved pieces as Praise My Soul, the King of Heaven, Be Still, My Soul, May the Mind of Christ My Savior, and In Heavenly Love Abiding. These songs are performed by the various musical groups of Bob Jones University in Greenville, South Carolina. This CD is available free of charge to our Let the Bible Speak listeners. To obtain a copy, you may contact us by email, by telephone, or by regular mail. You may call 864-244-2408. That's 864-244-2408. You may email us at info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. Or you may write, Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Ask for your free copy of Our Great Redeemer's Praise. Call or write for your copy today. On today's broadcast, Dr. Cairns continues his messages from Romans chapter 8 with the next portion of a message entitled Total Depravity. In verses 7 and 8, the apostle declares the natural state of every person born into this world. Because everyone is descended from Adam, everyone has inherited a sin nature. Not only is every person a sinner by birth, but each one deliberately chooses to sin because his or her heart is in rebellion against God. As Dr. Cairns will emphasize, man's will is biased toward evil, so that everything he does is tainted by sin. The unsaved person hates God and his law. In this state, man is incapable of loving or pleasing God. Now Dr. Cairns continues this message called Total Depravity.
I wouldn't want you tonight to leave this church thinking, I'm not too bad. I wouldn't want you to think that there's some easy solution, that you can simply flip over the leaf and start all over again. Not as easy as that. We're dealing with a deep-seated, horrible thing in the life and nature of every man and woman born of nature, born without Christ. be without God and have no desire for Him. To be hostile to God. You know, the Scripture talks about how crazy that is. How absolutely lunatic it is for a man to make the Almighty God his enemy. If you were to take a bunch of dried thorns, if those thorns could talk and say, I am going to fight that blazing fire, would the thorns consume the fire, or would the fire consume the thorns? There's no contest. That's the picture God draws about the folly of people who make God their enemy. This is natural depravity. With that natural depravity goes a total inability. You'll notice what it says in verse 7. The carnal mind is not subject to the law of God. And then it adds, neither indeed can be. So then they that are in the flesh cannot please God. Without repeating myself too much, this statement, in the flesh, is a reference back to what we are by nature, what we are without Christ, what we are in Adam. God does not tinker with the old man. He kills him. And he did that at Calvary for all who are in Christ. The old man is what you are in Adam. Now when you look at this, the old man cannot be made subject to God's law. You may baptize him. You may confirm him. You may elect him to a deaconhood or to an eldership or to the ministry. You may make him a bishop or a pope. He cannot be changed. The old man will always be the old man. It cannot be made subject to God's law. That's the first thing. It's not cleaning up your act that you need. It's to be born again. It's to be taken out of Adam and put into Christ. It's not some shallow response to human need that we're looking for. It is a deep and powerful and radical solution of sovereign grace to deliver men from depravity and the doom that it brings, to bring them to a new ground of acceptance with God. So here's the first thing. Human nature in Adam cannot be made to conform to God's law. And then the second thing, verse 8. Because of that, they that are in the flesh cannot please God. Not just do not please God, but cannot please God. Those who cannot conform to God's law cannot please God. And the words there mean they cannot make themselves acceptable to God. Now you put these two things together, and you'll see something very, very clearly. At least I hope you will. Number one, you'll see. If you're going to please God, it has to be because of a righteousness that absolutely is conformed to God's law. That's very clear here. Why do they not please God? Because they're not subject to God's law. Unless you have a righteousness that completely conforms to God's law, you cannot have an acceptance with God. But now take another step, and you'll see that no man has that righteousness. No man can produce that righteousness. No man can work for it or purchase it. And certainly no church can give it to him. I know that there are churches, there are religions, that tell men what they're going to do for them. I know that there are preachers, and they may be Russian Orthodox, Greek Orthodox, Roman Catholic. They may be Anglican. Some of them are Presbyterian. To their shame, I say that, for they ought to know better. And there are Lutherans who'll do the same. And they will tell you, if I may quote the words of the Anglican ritual in this, that when they baptize your baby, he becomes an inheritor of the kingdom of heaven. He is born again of the Spirit of God, and he becomes an inheritor of the kingdom of heaven. And I want to tell you, it is the devil's lie. There are other people, and they'll tell you, and one of them told me this years ago from the Church of Christ, that when you get baptized as an adult, it's under the water that you meet the blood. So unless we baptize you, you're not going to be saved. But if we baptize you under that water, you're going to meet the blood. And I'm here to tell you, it's the devil's lie. There's nothing that any church can do for infant or adult that is going to give him a righteous conformity to God's law. And without that, he cannot be acceptable to God. Now this immediately overthrows two of the favorite dogmas of man. You look across the world, there are, in the religions of men, two great dogmas. One or the other, you will find, will hold sway in the religions of the world. I'll give them their proper titles. One is called autosoterism. That is, man is able to save himself. This is actually the official creed that's stipulated, for example, in the Humanist Manifesto. Never forget that humanism is a religion. It is the worst form of idolatry known to man. It is the idiocy of man worshipping himself. But it spells it out. Man is able to save himself. Then, of course, you have what's called synergism. And that means that man can cooperate with God in saving his soul. That God helps man to save himself. So either man saves himself or God helps man to save himself. But when you look at this text, Paul says, no, sir. You can't save yourself. And you can't help God to save you. A, he doesn't need your help. And B, you have no help to give. And God doesn't help you to save yourself. How often we've heard the old folly from the pulpit. God has done his part, now it's up to you to do your part. If that were the gospel, we'd all be damned. God has done his part, and it's up to you to do your part. What folly. Paul says that if you're without Christ, Romans 5 verse 6, you're without strength. That doesn't mean to say you're weak. That means you're beyond weak. You have no strength whatsoever. Now put this all together. Totally depraved sinners, every part of their nature corrupted, the will, the seat of human depravity, so that everything that man does, even his good actions, are like filthy rags before God. Nothing that man does is done out of the proper motivation. What's the first and great commandment of God's law? Love God with all your heart, all your strength, all your soul, all your mind. There's not a sinner in the world, A, has ever fulfilled it, and B, there's not a sinner in the world has ever done anything out of a pure love for God as he's revealed himself. Paul says that whatsoever is not of faith is sin. All the good that men do is not growing out of the faith of the gospel, so that their righteousnesses are as filthy rags. As Solomon said, the plowing of the wicked is sin. Now, the wicked have to plow. And if they don't plow, they'll not reap. And if they don't reap, they won't eat. He's not saying they ought not to plow. What he's saying is that when the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked, when the heart is totally depraved, when corruption is in every part of the nature, that the very best acts of men, while they may set one man as being better than another in human terms, they do not win him the favor of God, they do not open the doors to glory, and they are in fact yet refined, but nonetheless real, expressions of his continuing hate and hostility to God. Here's the situation, totally depraved, and totally incapable of doing anything to reverse that depravity. For one very simple reason. That is, sinners don't want to reverse that depravity. Let me back up here a little bit. There are preachers who, and I wonder at either the brains or lack thereof, or I wonder at the honesty or lack thereof when preachers go down this road. But they paint the picture against what I'm saying tonight. They paint the picture, poor little sinners who are wanting to get rid of this burden of depravity. They're struggling to get rid of their depravity. They so want to get right with God. They so want to be in Christ. And there's this big, bad, sovereign God of John Calvin who won't let them. Greatest load of diabolical rubbish you ever heard in your life. You see, there's no poor little sinners who desperately want to get rid of their depravity until God enters in to give them that desire. Jesus said they love their sin. If you're unsaved in this meeting tonight, you know that's the real reason why you're unsaved. Why are you not saved? You don't want to be saved. That's the simple reason. You don't want to be saved. Why are you going the way you're going? Because that's the way you want to go. There's no such thing as this poor little squirming sinner crying, "Oh God, I want out of this depravity. God won't let me." No, sinners, depraved, incapable of spiritual good. That seems to cut off all hope. And if those were the only two verses in the Bible, you'd have to say, yeah, there is no hope. But you see, this is a text that's in a context. And the context shows that while this cuts off all hope in self, it does not cut off all hope in the Savior. Because the very next verse says it's written to people who are now not in the flesh. They're not in the flesh. They are no longer in Adam. They are no longer under condemnation. They're no longer full of hate and hostility to God. They have been reconciled to God. They are now in Christ. In other words, in its context, this text is saying to men and women, your situation is dire. That's why the sentence is death. We're talking hell now. We're talking eternal damnation now. We're talking the blazing wrath of a sin-hating God forever. The sentence is death. Worse still, you can do nothing about it, and you don't even want to do anything about it. But, and there's always a but. The gospel is God's great but God. But God. And here is the glorious truth. There is a way by the grace of God for sinners under sentence of death to be saved. Not by their own effort. Not by their own merit. Not by ignoring the depth of their sin. Not by denying the depth of their depravity. But by grace, through faith in Jesus Christ.
You've been listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. We hope you've enjoyed and benefited from today's program. We're here as your servants for Christ's sake. If we can be of any further help to you in the things of the Lord, we invite you to contact us. If you would like to receive our booklet, Separated Unto the Gospel, a booklet that sets forth the beliefs and standards of the Free Presbyterian Church, you may have a copy free of charge, simply for the asking. Our mailing address is Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Our email address is info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. If you would like to learn more about the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, we invite you to visit our website, www.fpcna.org. That's www.fpcna.org. This is Charles Kelch saying thank you for listening and inviting you to join us again as we let the Bible speak.